I'm turning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. For the past 7 Sundays, we have been meditating upon the 7 parables of the kingdom of the heavens as recorded in the 13th chapter of Matthew. Those parables speak of the mystery and the hope that is placed in front of a Christian. The hope of the Christian is to share in his reign, be a partaker of the glory that is his when he establishes his kingdom. The question oftentimes arises, what must I do to inherit a place of honor and glory in his coming kingdom? And that'll be our meditation for this morning. First 10 verses of this 19th chapter tell of our Lord's experience with Zacchaeus, of Zacchaeus' salvation. And we pick up with verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, 'Occupy till I come.' But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.' And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading." And that's all I want to read for the time being. And we pray the Lord's richest and continued blessings upon the reading of this portion of his word. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Were the words of the Apostle Paul immediately upon his apprehension and salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Virgin Mary said in response to the information from the angel of the Lord concerning the approaching birth of a son, "Be it unto thy handmaiden according to thy will." I've had many people come to me after salvation saying, I want to work for the Lord. What do you suggest? passage which I read a few moments ago has given for us and to us a responsibility that rests upon every Christian, upon every Christian, when it comes to witnessing to the lost, when it comes to telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a feeling on the part of too many who name the name of Christ. That's for the pastor and the deacons. This parable of the pounds, if you'll note verse 11 of this 19th chapter of Luke, the parable is introduced with these words, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable." He had spoken certain words in their hearing that called for, according to his understanding, further enlightenment or exposition. Now, I want us to get the words that he said that was one of three reasons for speaking this parable. The Lord was on his way to Jerusalem and he passed through Jericho. There was a tax collector in the town of Jericho. I don't know whether the tax collectors had their guild or union, but I'm sure they had the grapevine by which news could spread. They'd been a very popular, very prominent taxpayer, or tax collector, rather, by the name of Matthew. A most remarkable tax collector. They were a hated group of people. Hated because they were Jews who bought the privilege of exacting taxes from their own flesh and blood. And having bought the privilege of gathering taxes, they were permitted to gather all that they could get. Reminds one of some experiences of today. I doubt not myself, and when we get on that side, you can check on this. I doubt not but what Matthew got word to Zacchaeus. There's a man coming through your town before long, and I want you to see him. So profound an impression did he make upon Matthew. So convicted was Matthew. So surrendered was Matthew. That when the Lord saw him there at the gate of the city with his table and money changed all over that table where he could convert any kind of foreign exchange to the coin of the realm, where he could gather taxes of everybody that came in. When the Lord said to Matthew, "Come and follow me," the scripture says that Matthew got up and left all. He got up and left all the money on the table, got up and left it all and followed Jesus. That's the main reason some people want joiners today. So they'll bring it all. They don't want him to leave it all. He left all. and followed Jesus. Well, Zacchaeus was short of stature, and so many people, hearing of the Lord's coming, thronged the highways, and Zacchaeus had to climb a tree. Of course, before the foundation of the world, the Lord had seen Zacchaeus in that tree waiting for him to come by. He didn't have to look for him or wait for him. He just passed by. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going home with you today." That created quite a stir in Jericho for this holy man to go off with this infamous publican or tax collector. No more despised group of people on the face of the earth than the tax collectors in those days. And as Jesus went home with him, and when they came out of the house, Zacchaeus said, "Lord, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man wrongfully," which he had, and he knew it, that's the way they made the money, that which they took unlawfully, "I'll repay him fourfold." And the Lord Jesus Christ called to attention the fact that Zacchaeus did that because he was a saved man. And then the Lord gave expression to these words. And this is what reason number one for the parable. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That an expression of one sentence, the sum total of the ministry of our Lord, to seek and to save that which is lost. That's his business. That's his business. Now let's remember the commission is given by John. "As the Father hath sent me, so send I you." If he had been sent to seek and to save that which was lost, and he has sent us on the same mission, our business is to seek the lost, bring them to or point them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the business. That's the Lord's business. Now, he's approaching Jerusalem, and he had spoke oft of a kingdom, of himself as a king, of the establishment of his kingdom, and many in that group thought that he was going to Jerusalem now to establish his kingdom. They thought now he was going to ascend the throne of David, institute that reign of righteousness. And then there was a feeling on their part that the kingdom of the heavens would immediately appear. Now look at that verse 11. "As they heard these things," as they heard that Jesus had come to seek and to save that which was lost, "and because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of heaven would immediately appear, he spoke this parable. He outlines his business to seek and to save that which is lost. He's drawing nigh to Jerusalem, and the multitude thinks that the kingdom of the heavens is going to immediately appear. So he says, now listen. "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." You He called his 10 servants to deliver them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. All right. Jesus the Christ is a certain nobleman. He's going away into a far country. In Hosea chapter 5, verse 15, he expresses it in these words, I will go and return unto my place till they acknowledge their offense. In their affliction, they'll seek my face early. Because of his rejection by the nation of Israel, fulfillment of the prophecy came unto his own, and his own received him not. Because of his rejection, he returns to heaven. I'm going back to my place. A certain nobleman going away into a far country. The purpose of his going is just to receive a kingdom. And when he receives the kingdom, he's going to return. So the Lord Jesus Christ is telling them, no, the kingdom of the heavens is not going to immediately appear. No, I'm not in the immediate future going to ascend the throne of David and inaugurate this reign of righteousness. No, I'm going away to receive the kingdom. And when I receive the kingdom, then I will return. He had told the disciples in another place, I go to prepare a place for you. That's part of his kingdom work. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he's gone to prepare that place. And when that's fully and completely prepared, he'll come again. Now, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm going back. In the eyes of man, his mission had been interrupted. I'm going back. My business will be in abeyance unless I can get someone to prosecute it or carry it on while I'm gone. So he called unto him his 10 servants. You've heard on numerous occasions the significance of 10. Those of you in here this morning heard a discussion of that in connection with the talents. 10 is the number of completion. And when he said he called his 10 servants, that's the equivalent of saying he called all of his servants. All of them. Everyone. No exceptions. Every child of God. Every blood-bought, every redeemed individual becomes a servant of God. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, we read that the minute one becomes a Christian, they're entered in the race. Every Christian is entered in the race. And the command of our Lord unto each is, run with patience the race that's set before you. How many remain at the starting block? Never begin the race. Saved, that's all I want. Just so I get there by the skin of my teeth, I'll be happy. And then to that hyper-pious, sickly air, they top it off with this, just to be with Jesus is enough for me. Well, there are going to be plenty just with Jesus. Hear him say, bind him hand and foot, and cast him outside the feast into the outer darkness. He called all of his servants, and he delivered unto them 10 pounds. That's a pound sterling. That's coin of the realm of the British Empire. Worth about $2, I think, today. Back then, at the time of writing this, I think it was worth somewhere around $4 or $5 a pound. Instead of saying he delivered unto them $5 a piece, he said he delivered unto them a pound, 10 pounds. When he says 10 pounds, that means all of his money. He called all of his servants unto him. He delivered unto them all of his monies, all of his business. He delivered unto all his servants all of his business, and he said, occupy till I come. Trade and traffic. Carry on my business till I come. Each servant got a pound. Each servant had the same amount. Each servant the same responsibility. Each servant the same accountability to our Lord. One of the differences between the parable of the pounds and the parable of the talents would be found in the fact that talents were distributed according to the ability of the individual servants. A talent being the Old Testament coin of the realm. There was the talent of brass, the talent of silver, the talent of gold. And when he delivered talents, some people err grievously and think that the talent was some talent that he gave them. Some think it's a talent for making coffee, others for serving donuts, others for bowling, others for this or that, you know, to keep the plant going. But that's not the talent. He's talking about money, his business. All right, now, here we have this pound. Every Christian has the same responsibility. Now, what's the business of our Lord? To seek and to save that which is lost. As the Father sent me, even so send I you. What's the business he's turned over to you? What's the business he's turned over to me? To seek that which is lost. To seek that which is lost. Oh, Brother Wilson, I just can't talk to anybody. I can't talk to anybody at all. I can't. Two men come in front of me. My mind's eye, as I think of that. Talking to a group of men of one church of which I was pastor along this line, one of them said, now, Brother Wilson, I just cannot talk. I just cannot talk to anybody. And I just asked him what his business was. And he told me he was an insurance salesman. Now, isn't that something? Imagine an insurance salesman that can't talk. The other was a grocery salesman, a wholesale grocery company. I'll tell you. He could sell snowballs in Alaska. No, everybody has the same responsibility to seek and to save that which is lost. First of all, I'm thinking of the home. I'm thinking of the family. I know each home is different. I know each family is different. But from the moment that we knew our home was to be blessed with a baby, it became our prayer that the mother or I or both of us would be the ones who'd have the privilege to tell the child of Jesus Christ, resulting in their salvation. That's a privilege. That's a responsibility of the parent. There it is. There it is. The home, the family, the mother, the father. There are the other relatives. I know that a prophet is not without honor save in his own country, and I know the difficulty of trying to witness to your relatives. I know all of that. But place it before the Lord and let it rest there. Now, our Lord went back to heaven, and he turned all of his business over to the Christians. To the Christians. To you, and you, and you, and to me. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard this, he spoke this parable so they'd know that he had turned his business over to them, and they were to prosecute it in his absence. Now, occupy till I come. That's a commandment resting upon every Christian. You occupy. You trade and traffic. Literally, it says, while I am coming. King James says, till I come. But everything in heaven today is in view of his soon return. And he's making preparation, so it's occupy while I am coming. You keep busy. You keep busy. In the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, he said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We're to be witnesses of our Lord. By word of mouth, by action. Sometimes our actions speak far louder than our words. And sometimes people refuse to hear our verbal testimony because of the inconsistency of the testimony by act. Some have been known to say, what you do cries out so loud I cannot hear what you say. We're to be witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. In another gospel he said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He brings out the fact that whereas it's not expected of everybody to go to all the world, some go to the battlefront, as in the life of David. Others stay at home and watch over the home fires and care for those who've gone to the front. And we learn from the experience of David that those who stayed at home and watched over and protected and cared for the household effect and the herds and the flocks shared and shared alike in the rewards that passed out to the warriors as they returned. How much has been accomplished by prayer. By prayer. Some 30 years ago or a little more, I met a lady who was responsible for over 200 missionaries being on the foreign field. She prayed the Lord to raise up these that go into the harvest field. She prayed the Lord that he'd put on the hearts of others to support them. And over 200 had gone out that way. She never called any. She never invited anybody. She just prayed the Lord. Fulfillment of the prophecy. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will thrust forth laborers into his harvest field. Occupy while I'm coming. Keep busy with the Lord's work. Beloved, we're not here to enjoy ourselves. We're not here to realize our own self-expression. We were created and brought into existence for the specific purpose of bringing joy to the heart of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And nothing thrills him more than for you and me to be telling the story of Jesus to somebody else to whom he has led or whom he has brought into your path. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Occupy till I come. Occupy doing what? As the Father sent me, so send I you. How did the Father send him? To seek and to save that which is lost. Now, busy yourself with the Master's work, telling somebody else about Jesus. Not only does God put it upon your heart to witness here, but he works with the one to whom he wants you to witness. He puts it on their heart. I became very conscious of that one night in the seminary. Somewhere after midnight, been disturbed about a few things and was in prayer. And the Lord put it upon my heart to go up on the fourth floor and speak to a young man. I went with fear and trembling, but as I knocked, he said, "Come in, Ed." I was startled. How'd he know I was coming? I don't know, but he knew. He knew I was coming. And when I knocked, he called me by name. Called me by name. Oftentimes, opportunities are given to us to witness, and we recognize them not. In a church where I was pastor, a family had been attending church. None of them Christians. We were concerned about them. We were praying about them. I was in my study one day on the main street of town where the church was located and had a very definite impression of the Lord to move out somewhere. And as I got out and moved, just across the street, a man came out of a grocery store, spoke to me. I spoke to him. Went on my way. I got down about a half a block. It dawned on me that was the man for whom we'd been praying. And then it came to my realization that the Lord had brought me out of my office to speak to him. I hardly knew what to do, but very quickly I circled the block and came around again. And hi, and he said, "Hi." And I said, "Let me tell you something." I told him about the Lord, and he received the Lord as his Savior then and there. But the Lord had sent me out to see him, and I didn't recognize him when I first saw him. You don't, huh? The Lord moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Many, many of the opportunities that come our way, the Lord opens a door. Seated in the study of that same church, study up upper part of the church, I kept hearing something knocking on the pews, and it was disturbing me. I got up and looked, and it was the janitor running the cleaner and hitting, bumping the pews. And the Lord made it known to me then that this man was lost. Colored man. I went down, stopped him. His name was Webster. I don't know whether it's Daniel or Noah, but it's just Webster. And I said, "Webster, have you ever trusted the Lord as your Savior?" He said, "No, sir." Visited with him a while, read the word to him a little, and he received the Lord as his Savior, and we had prayer, and I went back to my study. When I got home, Ms. Wilson wanted to know what had happened. I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, I went downtown to get something and saw Webster going down the street, stopping everybody, telling them he'd been saved." I said, "Well, he was. He dropped the broom and he went out to tell the people." The Lord just throws people in our path if we have eyes to see. You ever stop to ponder why this person crossed your path, why this came this way? "As the Father sent me, so send I you." Now, here is something else. There are four outstanding promises dependent for fulfillment upon our witnessing. The promise of unlimited answer to prayer is dependent upon our witnessing to our Lord. The promise of the presence of Jesus Christ with us is dependent upon and conditioned by our witnessing to our Lord. The promise of providential care, food, clothing, and shelter dependent upon our witnessing for our Lord. The promise of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of God, dependent and conditioned by that. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Heretofore you've asked nothing in my Father's name. Now I say unto you," or "ask nothing of my Father in my name, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name in my name. You ask only in the name of Jesus the Christ when you're on His business. And His business is to seek and to save that which is lost. And when you're concerned about that and interested in that and prosecuting that task or mission, you can ask whatsoever you want and it shall be given unto you. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name. My name. I'm sending you out, says God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can draw checks on the bank of heaven for anything you need in this task of witnessing to the lost. But someone said, oh, brother, we got it made. And so we began to embezzle. We began to ask for things for our personal use and lust in the name of Jesus, trying to tell God that we're on business for Him, but He knows all about us. He knows all about us. The promise of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with us is dependent upon our going. As you go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then, after you've gone to all nations, after you've baptized, and after you've taught them, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. That's conditioned by going. I need food, clothing, and shelter, preacher. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you. They'll be given to you. Given to you. Who goes to war at his own charges? The Lord sends you out. He'll furnish everything. We say, Lord, for Jesus' sake, I want this and I want that. So it's not for Jesus' sake. It's that we might keep up with the proverbial family, whichever one you're used to using there. Keep pace with them. Or it's to exceed or excel these. It's not for Christ's work. Whatsoever things ye shall ask of the Father in my name, that will I give you. Yeah, not because you ask not, and when you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. And then the power of the Holy Spirit. How much teaching there is, how much abuse there is, how much misinterpretation there is today, misapplication concerning the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God. How much there is. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And this power you receive after the Holy Ghost has come upon you shall be used to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Beloved, we're not here to realize our own self-expression. We're not here to enjoy ourselves. And I've got news for you. The only real, complete joy and happiness that comes to a Christian is when he conforms to the will of God and when he's occupied with the Master's business. Now, he said he's gone to receive this kingdom and to return. Return. So many people care not to hear one word about the return of our Lord. Why not? You know, I had some chilling experiences during World War II. Visiting homes where a husband was overseas. I had one or two, maybe two or three wives tell me they didn't care whether their husband came back or not. Now, you want something to chill your blood, just listen to a wife whose husband's across the sea fighting. Hear her say, I don't care whether he comes back or not. And when a Christian tells me he doesn't care whether Jesus comes back or not, I know the same thing's wrong with him as is wrong with this wife talking. And falling in love with somebody else. And when a Christian tells me they care not whether the Lord returns, I know they've fallen in love with this world or the flesh or the devil or something. He's coming back. And they don't want to hear about it. Because embedded in their being is the realization of their personal accountability to him when he returns. Because the Word of God tells us, when he returns, he's going to call all of his servants before him. When he returns, he's going to call all of his servants before him. And the first question he asks will be an indictment to too many who name the name of Christ. Have you got any meat? Have you caught any fish? Has your pan produced any fruit? Now, those who spoke of the fruit used words you seldom hear today in the work of our Lord. He gave each one a pound. You would think that when he called the first before him, he said, Lord, my pound has done this. Lord, I was very zealous and I was very, very active. I didn't sleep much. I worked all the time, and I have done this, and I have done that. I think of that every time anybody tells me I led so many to the Lord. No human being ever led anybody to the Lord. Salvation is of God. It's of God. Only God can save. You can say, behold, the Lamb of God. But you can't bring them into a saving knowledge. You know what the servant said? Lord, thy pound. Thy pound, Lord. Thy pound hath gained the 10 pounds. Thy pound. Thy pound. Not my pound. The Lord coming back. And the first thing he's going to say when he calls us before the judgment seat of Christ as we stand there is, have you got any meat? Have you caught any fish? Has anyone come to a saving knowledge of me through your witness and testimony? I think if I'm conscious in that moment, as I am now, I think I'll give an answer that several have given in the Bible. Now, that's what I think now. But I'm not telling what I'll do then. But I think I'll say, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, you know. I don't know. You know, Lord. You know. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain nobleman going away into a far country to seek for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called unto him his 10 servants, and he delivered unto them his 10 pounds. And he said, occupy till I come. Lord God Almighty, bear home to us the privilege as well as the responsibility of occupying until thou dost return. And may we go from here, each and every one of us this morning, with this word in our heart and on our lips. Lord, where wilt thou have me to go? To whom wilt thou have me to witness? Lord, have thine own way. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You're dismissed.